well, we will definitely be here next week.
We'll see you later.
See what happens.
Kick against the pricks. Hey, Manafort got went to jail.
Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
The Magic Strangers radio show is brought to you by WGXC
from 9:30 until midnight
on the first and second Thursdays of every month.
And if there happens to be a fifth Thursday in any given month,
the Magic Stranger may be there with his box of records to share with all of you WGXC listeners.
So, if you happen to be driving down the road or
twiddling your thumbs out in the woodshop,
give the Magic Stranger a listen.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now!, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media that on June 13th, Executive Director Tim Mattis told the authority's Board of Commissioners that the Hudson Housing Authority has lost close to $750,000 in back rent over the past 15 years. Mattis said rent losses have averaged between $15,000 and $30,000 every year for the past 10 years. Bliss Towers, located on North 2nd Street in Hudson, is managed by the Hudson Housing Authority under the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Authority board member Peggy Polenberg blamed former executive director Jeff First's administration for failing to collect back rent. First was at the helm of the authority for more than two decades and retired in December 2016. Mattis was hired in September and implemented an eviction policy soon thereafter. Under that policy, Mattis said, tenants must pay their rent by the 6th of the month. If the rent is not paid, a letter notifies the tenant that they have 14 days to pay. After 14 days, a notice is sent to an attorney and the eviction process begins. The Hudson Housing Authority is now also using the Hudson Police to run background checks on potential tenants, Mattis said. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The State Public Service Commission on June 14th approved a Central Hudson request to raise usage rates but reduced the monthly fixed rate for electricity. A Central Hudson spokesman noted the new usage rates are lower than the utility initially requested. Under the approved three-year plan, usage rates for electricity will increase by 1% the first year, 2.8% the second, and 4% the third. Natural gas usage rates will go up 1.5% the first year, 3.6% the second, and 4.4% the third. The monthly fixed rate for electricity will drop by $3 the first year, $1 the second, and an additional 50 cents the third year. The utility originally requested an electric rate increase of more than 11%, but following a meeting with watchdog groups in April, Central Hudson revised the proposal to include rates that were ultimately approved by the commission. Also under the approved plan, Central Hudson will eliminate all fees associated with customer payment made by credit or debit card or at walk-in locations. And you can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Diane Walden is reporting for the Columbia paper on the details around the application under review by the COPEC Planning Board submitted by the Connecticut-based company to build a gas station and convenience store at the intersection of State Route 23, County Route 7, and Carryville Road in the hamlet. JRGH Incorporated is hoping to build a 3,240-square-foot store with 12 fueling stations with access to State Route 23. Neighbors in the area are concerned about the increased traffic at what they say is an already dangerous intersection. A traffic study submitted by GRJH in support of its application determined the market would generate 73 new vehicle trips during the morning peak hours and 78 new vehicle trips during the afternoon, and drivers using the intersection after the store is built will experience, and I quote, a maximum increase of vehicular delay less than 5 seconds on any movement, end quote. The study found the intersection conditions do not meet the minimum requirements for the installation of a traffic light. The public hearing on the application remains open. The COPEC Planning Board July 5th meeting has been canceled. The board will revisit the GRJH application at its next meeting, 7 p.m. August 2nd at Town Hall. And you can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Larry Rulison is reporting for the Times Union. Charter Communications has been fined $2 million by the State Public Service Commission for failing to expand its cable network quickly enough in New York. Charter is required to expand its network to provide more high-speed internet service options to state residents under the terms of an agreement with the PSC as a condition of Charter's 2016 merger with Time Warner Cable. The expansion is supposed to bring high-speed internet to 145,000 New Yorkers. The PSC previously ruled that thousands of addresses Charter claimed it had expanded to were not eligible under the agreement and threatened to levy a fine of $1 million. On June 14th, the PSC found the company did not correct the problem in time and fined Charter an additional $1 million. Charter operates its cable TV, internet, and phone services under the Spectrum name. And you can read that full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For weather reports and more community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
From the WGXC Newsroom,
This is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a partly sunny afternoon with a temperature high near 72 degrees. There'll be a north wind at around 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low around 55. Your forecast for the weekend: on Saturday, increasing clouds with a high near 81 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 59. On Sunday for Father's Day, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 87 degrees. And Sunday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 70 degrees. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. For more news and information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org.
Tell us how you really feel.
You could tell us how you really feel. Fun fact, you could do that by calling a number. It's an easy number to call, 518-697-7400.
Do that by sending us money.
You can tell us how it is.
Tell us what you really like about us.
Tell us how you feel.
You know, send us in. Donate some money.
Donate to money.
And why send us in some requests, and maybe we'll play them.
That's not a number for requests.
Oh darn,
that's the wrong number for requests. So you can't do that. I mean, if you
is there
if
a
you
right
do
number
it,
for requests?
There
do
is
they
a right
just
number.
Call your home phone.
No, they could call a number for requests, but then
really?
There'd be two different numbers going. It's always hard to do requests during pledge drives.
That's very cool. Okay.
If you do a request, if you're like you have to play this song, then you could tell whoever picks up the phone, and then the person who picks up the phone could call here and be like, you've got a request, and it's a whole ordeal.
Okay, so for now, let's just worry about the money.
The money, yeah. 51869, you got to get us the money.
What's the money, Lebowski?
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
That's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
The number is 518-697-7400. You can also go online from your smartphone or smart device or your dumb device, as the case may be. My parents just "quote unquote," upgraded their smartphones to flip phones, and
right, Willie's coming. We gotta talk about it.
We're gonna talk about him quick. Man, Willie, he's just Willie.
Yeah, Willie.
Yeah.
We're live on the radio right now. We're
talking
on
about
air
it.
Talking about you.
You got solo cups?
Yeah, I got cups.
You can't really put coffee in solo cups.
Why
not?
You can
not?
Put
because
coffee in
plastic.
Anything you want.
Do you want me to go get more cups?
Kind of.
No, don't get more cups. No.
I'll get more cups.
Don't worry about it.
No, I'll get more cups. It's okay.
Okay.
We were just telling people about how you can go online from all sort of different devices to wgxc.org/donate.
Yep.
To donate.
Yep.
And I was also saying my parents just got flip phones, and they're actually able to very primitively browse the web on them.
Wow.
Mom, what are you doing? You've been sitting there, like, going at it on your phone for, like, you know, 10 minutes. Like, I'm on Facebook.
What?
How are you on Facebook?
Who's on Facebook on a flip phone?
That thing looks like a technological fossil.
That's
it should be in the natural...
I feel like that thing could only run MySpace.
It only has the space to run MySpace.
I feel like that looks like it should be in the Technological History Museum in New York.
Jeez.
I could see that being something of Futurama.
Like it probably wouldn't be, because that's just like, I mean, that's 1,000 years. That's
I mean,
time,
it's
I
probably already in a museum.
Send in your answers now. Do you think 1,000 years is long enough
can't
to make
send
a museum?
Where are you going to send in your answers? The number doesn't go to us, Sam. That you can't. No, that it doesn't work.
It's a joke. Don't actually send in your answers.
Instead of sending in your answers, send in your money.
Okay.
Wait, where did my?
How many times am I going to say send in and you're going to correct me to money?
A lot, Sam.
Okay.
Right. Here we go. Here's something. If you do want to physically send something, if you enjoy sending physical documents, you can mail a check to 5662 Route 23, Akron, New York, 12405. Get it together.
Get it together. All together now. The 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat.
and WGXE can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community.
Tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra. This is Jim McCabe, and I'm here, if you just tuned in, this is Jim McCabe, along with Chris Bishop from Vinyl Rundown and Sam Sebring, Nothing Is Real, Radio Hour, and we're just kind of each doing our own little thing here, trying to make you feel warm and cozy, and
maybe thirsty.
And maybe thirsty, yeah. Well, we'll have to hold off on the cocktails for a little while, though. It's the make-believe tiki bar for now.
Yeah.
So, and we're also doing a pledge drive, and we have a phone number for you to call.
517-7400, right? 7400.
Yep. 697-7400. Or wgxc.org/donate if you want to donate online. A lot of people like to do that. That's really easy. You can also stop by the studio, anytime this week, or we'd love to see you, meet you, give us your thoughts on the station, what you want to hear, what you don't like to hear, anything like that.
Tell us how your life's going. I mean, whatever it is, you know, we're here to listen and to hopefully entertain and inform. And
thanks for everyone who's been calling so far, and also thanks to people who've been donating food to help us out. Everybody who's working really hard here to get through this pledge drive, and keep the phones ringing.
And we got some cool merchandise too. If you go to the website, you can see pictures of. Well, actually, there's a whole merchandise section, but on the wgxc.org/donate, there's like pictures of some like really cool T-shirts that you get if you make a donation at a certain dollar level. Yeah, this is listener supported, hands-on community radio, of course, and so nobody gets paid really, except one or two hardworking staff. But it's. Pretty much basically a volunteer operation, so if you can help us out, that would be great. 518-697-7400, 518-697-7400.
Yeah, people coming out in this frigid temperatures to keep this whole thing going. It's kind of amazing how many people are involved with this project and constantly working on this project, volunteers, Yeah, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I was thinking about, you know, we've got three DJs here from three different towns in the area, none of which is Hudson, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm from Ghent. Jim lives in Stockport.
Although I have a Hudson mailing address for whatever reason that is. I don't know. There's a post office close.
Yeah, but you're not in Hudson. You're in
I'm not in Hudson, no. Northwest Claverick.
Right, yeah. And I'm in Athens, across the river.
So we have both counties represented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's part of, I think, you know, I was thinking about it just... Really, the transformation and progression of what the station has accomplished is really remarkable in terms of just, you know, bridging these different communities. That's always been part of the mission of the station, has been to reach other communities, get communities more connected across both sides of the river. And now we have programmers from all over the place, and from all different ethnicities of what we've accomplished in terms of community with this station is really unlike and beyond, I think, any other organization in our area. I mean, there's other organizations doing great work, but this is really remarkable what we have here.
It's very cool. I've been here part-time since 2002, and I guess I got involved in the station around 2009. I think that was the fall of that year, and then we had the New Year's Eve party. But I never would have met lovely people like Sam and Chris and Cheryl if it hadn't been for the radio station, and it's so much fun. And, yeah. You know, there's lots of other people out there, I'm sure, who would like to get involved, maybe have a show of their own. Radio is great, and this is like you can have your own voice here, and where else can you do that? It's a pretty rare thing. So.
Exactly. It's like it's empowering on a certain level because it gives voices to people that are otherwise not really being heard. And that's one of the greatest things this station provides, I think.
And in so many different ways, too. I mean, people contribute by playing music on the air or by talking about local issues, environmental stuff, national politics, local politics, all kinds of things. So any interest you have is probably represented here on the station in some form. So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely.
You can do magic.
I'm DJ Neva Wartell and special guest Jen Dubois. So one more time, we're going to ask you to call.
Si, por favor, llame 518-697-7400 para hacer una donación o visitar a la web wgxc.org y hacer el botón de donar. Gracias.
And the
and
number
in
English, 518-697-7400 and wgxc.org/donate. Thank you very much for anybody who has called.
Please join our pledge drive and make a difference today by making a donation at wgxc.org/donate or by calling 518-697-7400.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Incra.
Focus. Every community benefits from having a public square, public parks, public amphitheaters, public fire hydrants, drinking fountains, swimming pools. The public airwaves belong to the public. A public space that is here, there, and everywhere. The local community. Connected through invisible magic. The ability to be in two or more places at once. Through the miracle of electromagnetic radiation. WGXC is a creative community radio station for Greene and Columbia counties in New York State's Mid-Hudson Valley, since time immemorial known for its great natural beauty. The land of Rip Van Winkle, the land of the Hudson River School painters, the land of video freaks. WGXC is committed to hands-on radio, available to all in the community. Music shows, contemporary, traditional, music from around the globe, jazz, rock and roll, classical, rap, country, avant-garde, novelty, popular, medieval, disco, skiffle, and much, much more. Programs about farming, economics, love, the criminal justice system, psychology, spiritual matters, call-in programs, and local events. Community radio, the most democratic medium there is, uniting disparate populations of Greene and Columbia counties, bridging the Hudson River. And radio has been informing, entertaining, exciting, and soothing listeners for generations.
every Saturday and every night after the midnight hour, Transmission Arts programming can be heard. Long after the sun has gone to bed, this is a special time for strange signals, sounds, noises, contact with far-out spaces, inner spaces, joy, fear, theory, spirits, the seldom heard or heard from. The sky's the limit. The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, assigns licenses to broadcast over specific frequencies. Over time, these licenses have fallen almost exclusively into the hands of commercial interests. But the public should have control of the public airwaves and should have access to microphones, transmitters, loudspeakers, and exercise its inalienable right to perform civic duties on air. For commercial radio, turning a profit is the number one priority. Broadcasting advertisements and jingles, pay-to-play chart toppers, corporate invective, and other nuisances. Community radio is non-commercial. Its mission is to serve the community by putting local people at the controls. It's up close and personal, inclusive, friendly, and supported by listeners. And it doesn't cost you nothing to host a show on WGXC. You don't have to be a so-called professional at all. All you have to do is know what you want to do and do it. Programmers are volunteers, and most live in the area and can be heard far and near. Because of a dearth of available frequencies for non-commercial radio, micro-radio stations appeared. For these small unlicensed stations, the act of broadcasting was an act of civil disobedience. In 1997, Free 103.9 began microcasting, mounting antennas on Brooklyn rooftops with a signal heard by the surrounding blocks. The station was started by a group of artists interested in transmission as a creative medium, and Free 103.9 became an organization dedicated to transmission arts. In 2004, Free 103.9 expanded to Greene County, becoming known as the Wave Farm in Acre, New York, at the foot of the Catskill Mountains. The Wave Farm became a rural headquarters for transmission arts. Radio transmission is a creative medium for all manner of endeavorists. It was here that the idea of a hands-on community radio station serving Greene and Columbia counties, WGXC, was conceived and made into a reality. If you have a portable radio with you, you could tune in right now. Radio where you can expect to hear children at large, orators, live freaks, DJs who sing along live with records, live private conversations when microphones are left on, laughing, crying, unrestrained weeping on and off the air. Young people holding court. Members of your local government. Dedicated collectors. And the rebroadcast of radio landmarks such as Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, Uncle Don's bloopers, historic speeches by American presidents, and old-time radio plays that aired before you were born. You may even hear a sampling of other radio stations, or the specialized broadcasts of weather radio, police radio, citizens band or CB radio, walkie-talkies, cell phones, shortwave, or ham radio. The diversity of the programming on WGXC was noticed immediately after going on the air.
I hear there's a hippie cult that has its own radio station.
Will it destroy the community?
No, it is the community.
I want to be on the radio too.
One might even call WGXC a utopian institution, a beacon of hope, a useful guiding light, a resource, a social chemistry laboratory, a land of liberty, a zoo, a haven, a convergence of every possible walk of life.
WGXC 90.7 FM,
Accra,
New York.
Hey, dude. Hey, you want to get a cup of coffee with me? Oh, no, man. I just went to get a cup of coffee. But you want to go get a cup of coffee? Oh, yeah. I would like to go get a cup of coffee with you. Hey, do you want to go down the street later on and get a couple cups of coffee? Yeah, all right. I'll go get a cup of coffee. Hey, do you want to watch my coffee while I go into the coffee shop to get another coffee? Oh, yeah. I got two cups right here. I'll just watch your cups while I watch my cups.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. John Campbell reports in the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle that Albany will likely not pass a sports betting bill during the last 3 days of the 2018 legislative session. Assembly Speaker Carl Heste said June 14th that Democrats have a, and I quote, broad spectrum of concerns, unquote, about the bill. Last month, the U.S. Supreme Court let states pass their own laws about sports gambling, and Delaware and New Jersey have already passed legislation. Heste said, and I quote, members raised significant issues, so I would say at this point there isn't enough support within the Democratic conference to want to go forward on sports gambling, end quote. And you can read that full story in the Rochester Democrat. The Associated Press reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican candidate for Governor Mark Molinaro filed complaints June 14th with the state ethics panel, saying that Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo violated a ban on political events on school property. Cuomo arrived on a school bus to schools for recent events in favor of Cuomo's legislative proposal to allow parents and teachers to ask a judge to confiscate firearms from the homes of troubled students. But New York City and state ethics rules do not allow school property or resources to be used for political purposes. A Cuomo spokesperson claimed the events were clearly government-related and said Molinaro's complaints were, and I quote, cheap political tricks, end quote. And you can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Debbie Mayer reports in the Columbia paper that 60 people turned out for the June 11th public hearing in Germantown about the proposed Dollar General retail store on Route 9G, and most of them said a version of Not in My Backyard. All 24 speakers were against the Primex Properties project. Last September, at a state environmental quality review public hearing in town, 27 people spoke, with 5 in favor of the Dollar General and 21 against, with 1 noncommittal. They say the store does not have the, and I quote, rural character, end quote, the town's comprehensive plan mandates, and it is too large and redundant. Planning Board member George Sharp said in an email, and I quote, the Germantown Planning Board is still gathering facts regarding Dollar General's application and welcomes all written opinions sent to us at Town Hall, end quote. Another Planning Board member, Tim Otte, told the audience, and I quote, public opinion is one piece of this, but we must consider facts. Facts are irrefutable, end quote.
and you can read that full story in the Columbia paper. H. Rose Snyder reports in the Altamont Enterprise that Knox supervisor Belicio Lefkaditis stopped pushing for a second business district at routes 156 and 157 at the town's latest meeting and instead asked for a multi-use district. The business district proposal ended in two tied votes last year, but at the June 12th meeting, the Knox board voted 3-2 for starting an application for a multi-use recreational district. A multi-use recreational district is intended to allow, and I quote, limited recreation-oriented businesses and residential uses, end quote, in the southern Albany county town. Auction houses, dance halls, bowling alleys, restaurants or bar restaurants, retail stores, studios, and theaters would be allowed with a special use permit from the planning board. But banks, bars, car washes, shopping centers, junkyards, and racing tracks would not. Residential homes and agricultural facilities with up to 2 livestock or 15 fowls are allowed, while pig farms are not. Lefkaditis wants the first permit to go to the Fox and Kill Tavern. The application for the plan needs to be completed and then approved by the town board, the Knox Planning Board, and the Albany County Planning Board. Lefkaditis said that probably will not happen until the fall. And you can read that full story in the Altamont Enterprise. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For weather and more information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org. Next, we have these reports.
Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. The website 538.com currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.6% of the time, up slightly from last week.
The American Farm Bureau reports that the U.S. Senate begins marking up their version of the Farm Bill on June 13th. In the U.S. House of Representatives, John Faso voted for their version of the Farm Bill May 18th, but not enough of his fellow Republicans joined him, and it failed, 198 to 213. It did not pass there because conservative Republicans used the Farm Bill as a bargaining chip to get a vote in an immigration bill, and because no Democrats voted for the bill, because Republicans added more work requirements for recipients of food stamps. There was a May 3rd pray-in outside Faso's Kingston office protesting his vote for that version of the bill. The existing Farm Bill expires this fall. The 7 Democrats in the congressional primary June 26 for New York's 19th district are now in the stunt campaign portion of the election. The Daily Freeman reports that Pat Ryan is marching from the home of President Franklin D. Roosevelt in Hyde Park to U.S. Representative John Faso's district office in Kingston Saturday, June 16th. Ryan says he's doing the march to demand action to end gun violence, but he and other candidates are attempting to stand out in the crowded field. The Times Union reported that David Clegg began a 3-day, 200-mile bike trip June 6, visiting a number of pollution hotspots in the district on the way. Gareth Rhodes has been at this longer, visiting all 163 towns and cities in the district before the June 26 vote. Aaron Collier, Jeff Beals, Antonio Delgado, and Brian Flynn are also running in the June 26 election, with the winner facing incumbent John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in November. Local Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, and New York Senator Chuck Schumer don't always agree, and Faso and President Trump don't often disagree. 538.com website currently reports Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.3% of the time. But this week, both Faso and Schumer tweeted against Trump's position that Russia should rejoin the G7 conference as the G8. Faso tweeted, and I quote, President Trump is wrong to suggest bringing Putin's Russia back to G7 nations. Russia continues to be a malign influence around the world and should be excluded until it alters its behavior, end quote. Schumer agreed, tweeting, and I quote, readmitting Russia to the G7 would reward Vladimir Putin for actions the U.S. and its allies have condemned and would clearly be contrary to Americans' interests. The president's foreign policy decision-making seems to become more erratic every day, end quote. Russia was kicked out of the G8 after invading Ukraine and shooting down a passenger airplane.
Dan Friedman reports in the Albany Times-Union that opinion is split among local representatives after President Donald Trump's meeting with North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un in Singapore. Trump agreed to end military exercises on the Korean Peninsula and invite the dictator to the U.S. while receiving a vague promise of more negotiations. Representative John Faso, Republican of Kinderhook, said, and I quote, President Trump and the administration should be commended for groundbreaking efforts with the ultimate goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. There is a lot of work to be done and many potential obstacles. However, there is a renewed sense of optimism that this time negotiations will yield a different result, end quote. New York Senator Chuck Schumer disagreed on the Senate floor June 12th, and I quote, by granting a meeting with Chairman Kim, President Trump has granted a brutal and repressive dictatorship the international legitimacy it has long craved. For the United States, it's permanent proof that we have legitimized a brutal dictator who has starved his own people. If the United States is unable to win concrete, lasting concessions from North Korea, the meeting alone will be a victory for Kim Jong-un. New York's other Senator Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted, and I quote, I hope North Korea is serious about this effort and determined to join the international community. And I encourage the Trump administration to do the hard work of getting a strong, verifiable agreement. End quote. And you can read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. In a June 12 press release, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, and I quote, applauded the passage of H.R. 5685, the Medicare Opioid Safety Education Act of 2018, by voice vote, end quote. The bill only passed in the U.S. House and needs Senate and presidential approval to become law. Faso's press release said about the bill he sponsored, and I quote, this bill will improve efforts to educate seniors on alternatives to traditional opioid pain medication through the Medicaid Part D program. Nearly one in three seniors on Medicaid Part D were prescribed an opioid during 2016. That statistic underlies just how prevalent the use of opioid painkillers is among seniors who often are dealing with issues stemming from chronic pain, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, one of the best ways to combat the opioid crisis is to better educate the public on these risks and to educate them on alternatives. I am glad this common sense legislation has passed the House and will be included in a large package of opioid bills being sent to the Senate, end quote. On June 12th, Faso also voted for the Comprehensive Opioid Recovery Centers Act, which got 383 votes, with 13 Republicans voting against. Chris McKenna reports at The Fray that a U.S. House Republican Super Political Action Committee is reserving $1 million for advertisements to support Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in the congressional election this fall. The Congressional Leadership Fund is buying ad time for Faso and nine other Republican incumbents this year. Corey Bliss, executive director of the Super PAC, said in a press release on June 11th, and I quote, thanks to Speaker Paul Ryan and Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy's leadership in Congress, CLF continues to break fundraising records, allowing us to be more aggressive in adding new races and increasing our previous buys. These efforts ensure that CLF will have the resources needed to prevent Republican members of Congress from being outspent this fall, end quote. Seven Democrats are facing off in the June 26 primary election to face Faso in November. Among the Democrats, Antonio Delgado had more money in his coffers than Faso as of March 31st, with Pat Ryan and Brian Flynn slightly behind Faso's money on hand. And you can read that full story at The Fray.
On June 14th, Faso voted for the Thrive Act, which would force some people receiving vouchers for public housing into substance abuse programs. The bill passed 230 to 173, with only a few Republicans voting against and only a few Democrats voting in favor.
All Together Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes with any sort of opinion about something you heard on All Together Now. You can also send emails to info@wgxc.org. with opinions about what you hear here.
Go and get some records. Go and get some records.
Gonna get some records for my baby.
Mr. Record Man, get this record for me, won't you please?
WGXC Record Fair 20.
We could be so good together. Yeah, so good together. We could be so good together. Yeah, we could. I know we could. Invitation and invention. Yeah, so good together. Ah, so good together.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, June the 15th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. A.G. Sessions says the Bible backs a Trump administration policy separating children from parents. Also on the Friday rundown, emails suggest political influence in the Fed's ending a mining health study, and Iowa marks Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Now our top story, Attorney General Jeff Sessions cited the Bible Thursday in his defense of his border policy that is resulting in hundreds of immigrant children being separated from their parents after they enter the U.S. illegally. The Chicago Tribune reports Sessions, speaking in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on immigration, pushed back against criticism he had received over the policy. On Wednesday, a cardinal in a Roman Catholic church said separating mothers from their babies was immoral. The Tribune adds that White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said Thursday she hadn't seen Sessions' comments, but affirmed that the Bible did back up the administration's actions. Quoting Sanders, "I can say it's very biblical to enforce the law." New evidence suggests political pressure had a role in the U.S. Interior Department canceling a major study on the health impacts of mountaintop removal mining. Dan Hyman has our report.
According to a newly released Inspector General's letter to Congress, the Interior Department had no clear reason for ending the research a year ago. But emails obtained by Jimmy Tobias at the magazine Pacific Standard show a political appointee pushed for the cancellation after meeting with industry lobbyists. At the time the agency cited the cost of the study, Tobias says that's starting to look like an excuse.
At least not yet, there's no smoking gun, but I think the evidence is mounting that this was a political decision and that potentially it was made to benefit the mining industry.
The official has not responded to questions from Tobias and other reporters. The study began after a West Virginia University researcher found higher rates of cancer, birth defects, and other illnesses in people living near the large strip mines.
About $500,000 have been budgeted for the study. New York's attorney general sued President Trump, three of his children, and his namesake foundation on Thursday, alleging persistently illegal conduct at the nonprofit, including support for Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. Reuters reports Barbara Underwood, the attorney general, asked a New York state judge to dissolve the Donald J. Trump Foundation and to impose bans on Trump and his sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, and his daughter Ivanka, from holding leadership roles in New York charities. Airport workers at JFK allege that the same security firm that settled a wage theft lawsuit last year hasn't changed its ways.
The workers claim that Global Security Consulting Group is continuing to violate New York State wage and hour laws by not paying legally required uniform allowances and wage premiums for people who work split shifts and shifts longer than 10 hours. And according to Rob Hill, a vice president with the Service Employees International Union Local 32BJ, the company is a repeat offender.
It appears that after even settling a lawsuit for $700,000 of wages for workers that they didn't pay, they're continuing the same practice of stealing from their workforce.
On Thursday, workers sent a delegation with letters detailing their complaints to the JFK terminal, where Global is the security contractor for most of the airlines. Global Security did not respond to a request for comment. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
A program aimed at getting young people of color interested in food and agriculture is entering its second year. Eric Tegetoff says it's happening with more knowledge on how to reach them.
The Growing Urban Leaders in Food Systems, or GULFS program, is a curriculum in southern Wisconsin that helps kids in middle and high school see their community through the lens of food justice. Devin Hamilton with Michael Fields Agricultural Institute is one of the instructors. He says it's important to recruit people of color because often it is their communities that are most affected by inequities in food systems, including which foods are eaten, how and where they're grown, and how food is wasted.
I think that there are a lot of great examples out there of people of color in the food justice movement who are using food as a way to empower and to engage folks on a whole bunch of different issues.
Hamilton says the goal of the program is to connect food justice to larger ideas like racial justice.
A new survey shows high rates of depression and anxiety among LGBTQ teens nationwide. Ellen Kahn with the Human Rights Campaign says more than 70% of teens surveyed reported feelings of worthlessness or hopelessness, and the majority had experienced verbal threats.
These mental health challenges are directly a result of what's happening to these kids by people around them, being harassed, being treated poorly, being stigmatized, facing discrimination. That has a cumulative effect.
And finally, Ros Brown tells us older adults lose nearly $3 billion a year through financial abuse, and that's one reason Congress made prevention a national security mission by passing the Elder Justice Act back in 2010.
The mission is being honored today with the 13th annual World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Anthony Carroll with AARP Iowa says the quality of life for an older adult is severely affected when they become a victim of abuse.
It really is putting a spotlight on what is really unconscionable, the fact that abuse of older Iowans or older Americans, whether it be physical or financial, is occurring.
By the way, federal, state, and local officials are now investigating a new form of elder abuse, the theft of medications, including opioids. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a partly sunny afternoon with a temperature high near 72 degrees. There'll be a north wind at around 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low around 55. Your forecast for the weekend: on Saturday, increasing clouds with a high near 81 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 59. On Sunday for Father's Day, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 87 degrees. And Sunday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 70 degrees. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. For more news and information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org.
Tune in Saturday, June 16th for Transmission Arts on the radio, the Counterspin Media Show at 5 a.m., the Future of What Music Industry Show at 6 a.m., Amateur Radio Newsline at 7 a.m., and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio at 7:30 a.m., and the Radio Survivor Show about radio news at 8 a.m., and the War with Canada episode of Donald Trump Theater at 9:05 a.m. after the local news. Radio Wonderland is live from Brooklyn. Joshua Freed at 10:30 a.m. on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Saturday, June 16th, there's a scavenger hunt for fantastical creatures at Bard College at Simon's Rock, part of the Daniels Art Party Performing Arts Festival. Also, the Columbia County Soil and Water Conservation District describes the wonderful wetlands in the region in Ghent, 2 p.m. Saturday, June 16th. Claverack Library has a workshop about helping a grieving friend Saturday, June 16th at 4 p.m. with Claudia Conan, a local counselor. Educator and author Ellen Conliffe Lagerman will speak on Liberating Minds, her book advocating for a free college education for everyone in prison. That's at the Old Chatham Quaker Meeting House, 6 p.m. Saturday, June 16th, with a potluck at 6 p.m., the reading at 7 p.m. Saturday, June 16th, the Greene County Council on the Arts has an opening reception at 6 p.m. at their Catskill location for a show called New School. A show commemorates the 200th anniversary of Thomas Cole's first Atlantic crossing, and it's presented by the Greene County Council on the Arts. There's also an opening reception at the same location for Repeated Returning, a solo exhibition from Caitlin Parker, who's a recent artist in residence at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts. 6 p.m. Saturday, June 16th at the Greene County Council on the Arts. The Bridge Street Belly Dance 2018 is at the Bridge Street Theater Saturday, June 16th, 7:30 p.m. Francesca Avani hosts the second annual Bridge Street Belly Dance Summit. Saturday, June 16th, there's also a big show in Massachusetts. Marsha Bassett from Double Leopards, Samara Lubelski from Hall of Fame, Scratch Ticket, Beige, and Beltone Suicide are at the Root Cellar. That's at 8 p.m. at the Root Cellar in Massachusetts, Saturday, June 16th. Head of Lettuce has a show sponsored by Out Hudson for Hudson Pride Day, 8 p.m. at Club Helsinki in Hudson, Saturday, June 16th. Matthew O'Neill performs at High Low in Catskill on Saturday, June 16th. The Second Chance Band is at the Blackthorn Resort in East Durham, Saturday, June 16th. These events and more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hi, I'm Maria Manhattan, and I hope you'll join me in the Hudson Cafe here at WGXC on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month, 11 a.m. till noon. We're playing an eclectic mix of music from the American Songbook, old standards sung by young artists, as well as the jazz greats, plus an occasional sprinkling of the unexpected. Leave your worries at the door and come on into the Hudson Cafe. I've got your table waiting.
Hello, my name is Tony Fallon, and I am the host of the Irish program, heard here on radio station WGXC 90.7 FM every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Along with being a radio show host, I'm also a writer. I've been writing poetry now for over 50 years. I had my first one published in 1962, and I continue to write poetry. And I think I'm making a unique offer to the listeners of WGXC. If you make a donation to WGXC, the most recent fundraiser, which is taking place at the moment, of $250, excuse me, I will write a poem for you or anybody you designate, and it can be for a birthday or any particular occasion. So it's $250, and I will promise that I will publish the poem on my Facebook page and on my blog page, and also on my first book of poetry, which will be published after this program. I can't give you an exact date. So call the number 518-697-7400 if you're willing to donate $250 to radio station WGXE, and we will make arrangements for you to meet with me and for me to write the poem for you. And as I said, it will be for you or for anybody you designate. It will not be an advertising for a business or anything like that. It will be simply about somebody living or dead. And again, listening to my program at radio station WGXC every Sunday night, I do 90 minutes of Irish programming and 30 minutes of country. And the phone number, of course, for calling with donations or pledges is 518-697-7400. If you don't have $250 to donate and you don't want a poem written about you, you can still donate any amount to radio station WGXE Or you can get on the internet as well, wgxe.org/donate. And thank you for listening to this message, and thank you for listening to my program.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia,